T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. It's time now to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. We say good morning to Jim Van Stone, president of business operations and chief commercial officer at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. JVS, good morning.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it. Hope you're doing well.
Of course. On the one hand, congrats on staying in Washington, D.C., inking a deal with Muriel Bowser in the district to stay in D.C. until the year 2050. But it must be a little bit bittersweet, too, because the plans were to move to Virginia, have the bigger footprint for Ted and his big vision. But you ultimately strike a deal to stay in D.C., keep the Caps and Wizards in D.C. Take us through those final hours, how the deal got done.
Well, you know what, I will say, and a great credit to the mayor and the city council and everyone. I mean, we're a standings and memories business, and at the end of the day, you know, the city won and they stood on top of the standings, and we're excited. I mean, we've got 27 years of great history here, you know, at Capital One Arena. We're going to have many, many more. And, you know, at the investment levels of what we're talking about, basically we're going to have a brand new building within these four walls and the opportunity to expand with 200,000 square feet at Gallery Place. And if you look at that, I mean, that's the equivalent of 5 acres. So we're not talking about that big of a difference, you know, in terms of both projects. And, you know, the one thing on the memory side of our business is, you guys know, look at the last 2 weeks that we've had here at Capital One Arena. We had NC State winning the ACC. We've had, you know, many Wizards wins over last week. We've had a lot of great Capitals wins. We had Zach Bryant on, you know, Monday night, over 20,000 people. I was shocked at the amount of kids that were actually there, and a lot of mothers and daughters, and, you know, mom supporting Monumental. And it's just been a great couple of weeks. So this deal coming together at the last couple of days, I think it's been an epic moment for us, and we're happy to be here in the district moving forward.
So when the city gives you guys $515 million, how quickly does that transaction happen, and then how quickly do you guys start making renovations to the arena?
No, that's a great question. So, you know, I would say we've been kind of in the planning and visioning, you know, phase for really the last couple of years, you know, both at Capital One Arena and as some of the conversations, you know, happened over in Virginia. So, I mean, we always had, you know, first and foremost, a huge focus on the fan experience and what we could do to better that, you know, with really, you know, a modernized building from that standpoint. So we've been having these visioning sessions the last couple of years, and, you know, we're really proud. We work with, you know, an architectural firm called Gensler. It's got some big offices here in D.C. You know, Clark Construction is, you know, our construction partner. So we've always had, you know, really thoughts of how we can transform, you know, this building and really make it, you know, truly a world-class, you know, experience for us. So, you know, as far as, you know, the money, I mean, you know, we're excited. We think we can really do a lot of unique and different things. And, you know, with that 200,000 square feet of space that we're going to have, I mean, you know, that's not going to all be public facing. What it allows us to do is capture some of the existing footprint of the building and repurpose some of the behind the scenes you know, pieces. And, you know, through the ideas and thought process of, you know, our team here at Monumental and Gensler and Clark, you know, we think we're going to be able to really transform, you know, some things. I do think it's going to be probably, you know, a 3-year process for us. You know, we're hopeful that, you know, we can start to do some demo work, you know, over the next 12 months. We're going to be doing our planning. But my guess is it's probably going to be, you know, a phased process that we're looking at over the next 2 to 3 summers.
Jim, you're clearly a forward-thinking and positive guy, but and you're looking forward to the future in D.C. now. But were you surprised by the political and public backlash that was created by the proposed move to Potomac Yard? And what was Ted specifically, you know, like, hurt by that?
You know, I don't think we're hurt. We're competitive people. We know that everything is, you know, a process. And, you know, there's, you know, ebbs and flows of every negotiation you have. Like, there's ebbs and flows of every game, you know, that our players play in. So we knew there was going to be, you know, a process back and forth. We can't thank the governor enough. Mayor Wilson of Alexandria, tremendous. The city council of Alexandria, tremendous. And, you know, they saw the vision of new jobs in Virginia. They saw, you know, the opportunity of new tax dollars. And, you know, they were all in. And, you know, we were going at it very hard, along with having the same conversations in the district. So, you know, we feel really good about what the outcome is. And, you know, it's always a process as you go through, you know, these things. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, a credit to the mayor and the head of the council and the entire city council in D.C. And we're here to stay, which is going to be great for our fans and, you know, great for the future.
Talking to Jim Van Stone, president of business ops and chief commercial officer at Monumental Sports. So I was just watching I didn't watch the entire press conference yesterday, but when I was watching it, Ted said something interesting. I want to get your take and reaction to it. He says, it's a great day and I'm really relieved. I had a difficult conversation with Mayor Bowser and Phil Mendelson. We can still be friends. Let's take the high road. Just wondering what you took from that.
You know what? That it's never over. And you know what? I mean, I think the city was determined to keep us and, you know, kept those conversations open throughout the last couple of months in that process. And, you know, I mean, Ted is about, you know, really, you know, making opportunities and creating memories. And, you know, you got a lot of battles as you go through these processes. But at the end of the day, you know, I think he felt relieved in the fact that we've got great history here. Let's look back, you know, 5-6 years ago. I mean, the Caps went in the Stanley Cup right outside this building. I mean, it was pretty electric. I mean, so, you know, and the big parade on the Mall. I mean, there's certain memories there that you never want to let go. And, you know, I mean, it was a process going back and forth. But at the end of the day, you know, I think he's relieved because now we've got kind of a direction to go and what the next steps are in terms of revitalizing this neighborhood, being really the engine that really, you know, gets this neighborhood to run again. And you know what? We're excited about the opportunity.
Jim, are there any specific improvements that immediately come to mind for you as far as modernizing Capital One Arena? Like what some of the first upgrades might be? Because when I walk in, I don't look around and say, man, this place really needs a sprucing up. Like, I think Capital One Arena looks pretty good when I walk in, but I'm not coming at it from your eye, from the operational, you know, side of it. Like, are there certain things that jump out to you? Like when you go to an arena that's been built in the last, say, 3 to 5 years compared to Capital One, that's been around for a while. Like, are there certain things that jump out at you that might not jump out at the average fan? I'm putting myself in the average fan's shoes.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. And you know what, probably for the most part, you know, 70% of our fans actually really just attend sporting events or concerts here, you know, at our arena, don't travel around the country to see all these new buildings, you know, and the transformed buildings that really, you know, create a major difference. For us, it's going to be about the arrival. You know, ingress, egress is going to be a big part of what we want to, you know, focus on, and really having hopefully a grand pavilion, you know, and gallery place down the line really opens up that opportunity. I mean, vertical transportation of getting it to every level of the building, from the event floor level to the fourth floor, is going to be really important for us. You know, from that standpoint, having social spaces. I mean, you know, we want every one of our clients to have the ability to socialize in a really big way. Getting some of the square footage of what we're going to do is going to allow us to open up the concourses, you know, to have more destination spots, social spaces, you know, premium seating. We have people that have a really big appetite for, you know, unique programming experiences. I think that's going to help us. You know, we're going to transform the culinary experience. So, you know, I do think this is going to be, And our vision is basically a brand new building within these four walls. And, you know, we've got some work ahead of us on that end. And, you know, the good thing is, you know, I mentioned Gensler earlier. They've done some of the biggest and best buildings out there in terms of a design standpoint. So, you know, we think we're in a really good direction moving forward.
So with that extra 200K of space and gallery place, is Ted's vision of what he saw in Alexandria with the 12 acres, is this going to be just like a more shrunken down version of that? Like, is he happy with what Capital One is going to morph into with the extra money and the extra space?
You know, we think we're going to have a perfect amount of land. I mean, you know, and we think we're going to be able to do some things that we had planned on doing over there, you know, in a really robust and different way. And the one thing that we can change is the zip code of where this arena is going to be. And we're a mile from the Hill, mile from the White House. I mean, three blocks from the mall. We can make this, you know, really, I think, the preeminent building in the country. And, you know, that's going to be our goal. We've got a lot of work ahead of us from that standpoint. And, you know, when we talk about the amount of land, I mean, the one thing that we really didn't talk about within the space that we're describing is a future Wizards practice facility. And, you know, we've got visions of having the best in the NBA from a practice facility standpoint and, you know, supporting our players in a really robust way. So, you know, I think we've got the space that we needed. You know, that was a big driver in terms of, you know, our decisions to stay here. And, you know, I think Ted said it best yesterday. I mean, you know, we have this whiteboard that we talk about within our group and, you know, we constantly over, you know, each week evaluate where things are moving from a business standpoint. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, things really started to shine for the district and, you know, we're able to capitalize on some of the things that we really desired. And, you know, we ended up getting the outcome that we needed.
Jim, I know that Potomac Yard was the goal in Virginia, especially because of where it was, right on the river, and it's big open space there. Was Maryland ever in play, just over on that side of the river?
So I do think you have to give credit to the entire region. I mean, you know, what Governor Moore is doing in Maryland in terms of supporting, you know, the sports teams and knowing how much a difference they make to a local community, you know, I think is second to none. So we've always had great conversations with every jurisdiction. I mean, you know, our home in the district, I mean, the mayor has always been active in, you know, conversations with us and wanting to support us. And, you know, Governor Youngkin's vision in Virginia, you know, I mean, you know, I think was phenomenal. And he was, you know, a big advocate. And there was a lot of people from the city of Alexandria supporting. So I feel like, you know what, every jurisdiction loved sports and really wanted to do it. And, you know, unfortunately, in some of the situations in Virginia, you know, we got caught up in politics. And you know what, that happens from time to time. But you know what, the one thing is people forget state senator races. People never forget wins and losses in sports teams.
Are there any events that Capital One hasn't been able to host that now, like these upgrades and refurbishing, is going to help you guys land? Because I know you guys are super aggressive as far as booking concerts outside of obviously the Caps and Wizards schedule. Is that going to impact anything going forward?
Well, I will tell you one thing we are bullish on and hopefully is in the cards. It's been a long, long time. Is talking to our partners at the leagues and hopefully we get NBA and NHL All-Star games here in the district, you know, in time. I mean, you know, we want to continue to bring world-class events here. I mean, we're fortunate enough that we're one of the busiest concert buildings in the country. That's not going to change at all. And, you know, I think this past year we did 60 concerts. So, you know, we think we're always going to be, you know, first choice for many of these major events, national tours. And, you know, if there's opportunities for us to bring, you know, programs like the All-Star Games here, I mean, that's a full week of destination for, you know, the travel and tourism industry here in D.C.
Now that this is all over, JVS, are you kind of just relieved because you kind of were going back and forth for weeks, for months? Didn't, you know, obviously the political hurdles were difficult and really not in your ballpark, but Ted had to deal with that. But are you just glad it's over?
You know, I think what I'm glad about is that we kind of have finality, but I think more importantly, I think I'm excited about, you know, what we're going to vision and build out here and help transform the experience of all the sports fans in the DMV. And I think we're going to be able to do that in a robust way. And, you know, this building brings in annually, you know, 2.5 to 3 million people a year. So, you know, we want people to come here and say, hey, you know what, that was the best building I've ever been to, and I had an amazing experience. So now begins the fun part. I mean, now begins the process of, you know, hopefully in the future showing rendering, showing new seating concepts, showing new, you know, social spaces for people, expanding our culinary and retail footprint. So I think we've got a really great opportunity ahead of us, and now the fun begins. And you know, I'm also excited about, you know, as we even really think about the exterior of the building, how that makes such a difference in terms of, you know, the architecture here in Chinatown. And, you know, I think there's a lot more fun to come.
Jim, any concern from Ted as far as, like, it seemed like moving this team to Virginia and getting that land and expanding everything kind of was like his legacy maybe hinged upon it. Is that something that affects him, or is this a good resolution for Ted?
No, I you know what? I think Ted at the core of who he is, and it's funny internally. I've always joked, I've worked for him for, you know, nearly 17 years, and he's the best customer service rep that I have. I mean, he wants to surprise and delight, you know, a lot of fans. And, you know, I think, you know, his whole focus is the customer experience, and, you know, it's what's made him successful building businesses. It's what's made him successful from a philanthropy standpoint and supporting causes in this region. And, you know, I think his legacy has already been personally cemented, and, you know, I think this adds to it. I will say we want to win more championships, so I hope that legacy extends for, you know, a lot more success on our sports team side of it. But, you know, I mean, Ted's an icon in this market and, you know, the DMV. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, like I said up front, we're all about standings and memories. And if you look at Ted's legacy, his standings and memories, I think a lot of people would be envious of. So, you know, I think, you know, this is going to be a great opportunity as we kind of move forward. And, you know, I think he's going to be very proud. I mean, as, you know, we finish completion of this project and, you know, what it helps from, you know, a fan standpoint, I think is going to be tremendous. The other thing that, you know, is just not factual information that's out there a lot of times is that sports teams and venues like this don't drive economic development. That's the biggest fallacy that's out there. I mean, you know, I think since this building's opened, you know, we generated almost $800 million in taxes. I think in 2023 alone, it was almost $55 million. So, you know, we're going to be happy. The legacy of Ted is going to, you know, remain best in class like it is. And we're going to transform this experience for the fans and our customers.
Wizards and Caps staying in D.C. until the year 2050. Congrats on closing that deal. Thanks, Jim. We appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you at Capital One Arena. Oh, we got a lot of good events coming up. So you guys, you know, just let us know whenever you want to come out.
Well, love the private parking.
We're certainly
love
not shy on that. You know that.
Love the Caesars. Well, love it all.
You know, what's good about you guys is you are my secret shoppers. I tell everyone. I mean, you tell me about parking, what works, what doesn't work. You tell me about the food, what you like, what you don't like. You tell me about the good seats and the bad seats. I mean, you know, but you guys are across the board. You guys are sports guys. You're music guys. I mean, you know, the family entertainment piece. So you guys give me some good
Jim's
feedback.
That's Jim's nice way of
it.
Saying we hit him up for a lot of different events. So that's kind
I didn't
of the way
say that.
I love the fact that you've never said no, JVS.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that's who we are at Monumental. We don't say no to anyone. I mean, I think there's always a way of figuring things out. And you know what? A great credit in closing to Mayor Bowser. I mean, she figured out a way for us to continue to say yes. And you know what? We've got a good road ahead for all of us.
Definitely.
Right,
well, Jim, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk
all right,
to you again
thanks,
soon.
Same, man.
Jim Van Stone, President of Business Ops and Chief Commercial Officer at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. Don't forget, coming up later in the show at 8:45, we'll be joined by Dylan Strome from the Washington Capitals. That's coming up at 8:45 here on The Junk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, guest booking update. Pretty important guest upcoming. Mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, will join the show at 8 o'clock to talk about the biggest news of the day, the Caps and Wizards ink a deal to stay in the district until the year 2050. D.C. is going to pay Monumental Sports $515 million to upgrade Capital One Arena. So the deal is done. Mayor Bowser will join the show coming up at 8 o'clock. So that's in about 35 minutes. On an open line Thursday, you're welcome to call us throughout the show if you want to weigh in on the Caps and Wizards staying in D.C., not moving to Virginia. That's now officially off the table. That dalliance is over with. It's done.
It's gone.
All in the rearview mirror. Now it's all about D.C. So you'll be going to Caps and Wizards games in D.C., by my math, for the next 26 years. According to this deal.
Yeah, and if you want to call us and tell us how you're feeling about it, because when we took calls weeks ago, the majority of the people we spoke to didn't want the teams to move to Potomac Yard.
Seemed very anti them moving out of D.C.
But there were some that were pro-monumental move. But, you know, give us a call and let us know how you're feeling now.
Yep, 800-636-1067. Those are the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can talk about the Caps and Wizards staying in D.C. You can talk about Jaden Daniels' pro day as the Commanders are searching for their next franchise quarterback. They were in Baton Rouge yesterday. They'll be in Chapel Hill today for Drake May's pro day as well. So they're a very busy group. Also busier than Nats. Opening day is today, 4:10, first pitch. And, of course, you can hear that right here on 106.7 The Fan. Your pregame coverage starts 30 minutes before first pitch.
JoJo Gray against Frankie Amontas, who had a shoulder injury last year. He was with the Yankees. And then the Reds signed him to a one-year deal, hoping that he's going to be 100%. He used to be really good with Oakland. Then he had the shoulder injury with New York. And so he's going for the Reds opening day for them. And, of course, JoJo going for the Nats.
Let's go to the phones. Edwin is calling in from Silver Spring on an open line Thursday. Good morning, Edwin. You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love you guys.
What's up? Thank you, sir.
I had two bits to say. First, EB had said, you know, the Rangers winning the World Series completely underwhelmed him, and that he, for whatever reason, considered the Rangers to be the type of team that diminishes the World Series by winning it. But he couldn't figure out why exactly. I thought about it. I think I have a rule of thumb on that is. And then I have something quick to say about Leonsis. So I think for baseball-wise, I think EB feels that teams that play indoors that have a retractable roof, those are the type of teams that they diminish the World Series by winning it, with the exception being the Astros, because they've established, you know, their reputation over the years. But most of the teams, like if you think about it, I would agree also. Like the Rays.
Toronto.
Toronto.
I mean, it's been a while since they won. Hello.
Edwin, your phone's breaking up on us. We're going to have to move on from your baseball talk, talking about the indoor teams tainting, I guess, the World Series and the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you're a good team, you're a good team. You earn it. Bickle doesn't really care about baseball other than the Nats. So I don't know. You know, I can't remember when he said that, but he, you know, he doesn't pay attention to the rest of the league.
Yeah.
But the Rangers, I think the downfall of the World Series last year was the fact that you didn't have the Braves or the Dodgers or the Phillies from the National League. You had the D-backs. And the D-backs went on this kind of crazy upset run, you know, they got there. And so that's why the ratings were so down. You didn't have those big-time cities, big baseball cities that were watching the World Series.
But the Rangers didn't – Arizona kind of came out of nowhere. But the Rangers didn't come out of nowhere. The Rangers spent a lot of money. They
tons
had a
of money.
Great farm system.
Yeah, I mean, they had DeGrom and they had – you know, Max. I mean,
They had great players, great pitching staff, which was, I guess, injured early in the season.
Great and manager.
Then kind of came together late in the season. So if you didn't pay attention to baseball, you had no idea that the Rangers were so good.
Right, and that's why. And he didn't. That's why he didn't.
Yeah.
That's he was expecting, you know, a Yankees Dodgers World Series. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't get that.
That's why I forgot they won the World Series last year. A very forgettable team.
But the Rangers were the type of team that spent money in the offseason.
Yeah.
I guess were able to put all the free agent pieces together and just have it click.
100%.
It's kind of a hard way to do it, to kind of just buy your World Series like that and just have it happen overnight. But they were able to do it.
They had really good players, great offense, great pitching, like you said. Did it help they were playing the D-backs? All right, maybe a little bit, but they got there.
I think getting lost in all the Wizards and Caps news is the fact that Jaden Daniels had his pro day yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, that's a guy that could be drafted number 2 overall by the Washington Commanders, could be the future signal caller here in D.C. There were a lot of teams on the ground in Baton Rouge watching his workout yesterday, including the Commanders.
A lot of people.
The Patriots, the Raiders. There are a few other teams that at least sent their head coaches and GMs for the workout. And he did something in Baton Rouge that he didn't do at the scouting combine in Indianapolis. He got measured.
Measured, yeah.
And that was a big question mark for a lot of people as far as Jaden Daniels, because we've seen all the highlights of him, you know, running out of the pocket, hurtling over like players, getting crushed by defenders mm-hmm. in some of his games while he played for LSU. So there's concern about his height, his weight, his size, how much punishment he can take on the pro level. So here are his measurables from yesterday. I'm getting these from Ben Standig, who got them from Cat Terrell. His height, 6'3 and 5/8", so nearly 6'4".
Right.
This is the most important one, and I think this one kind of answers a good number of questions because people were worried about his weight. 210. I think that's decent. I mean, maybe you want him to be a little bit heavier, and he can probably add more weight as, you know, he gets
215.
215-ish, 220. Maybe you'd 220 like.
Might be a little much.
So he measures in maybe. Nearly 6'4", 210 pounds. His hand size, 9 3/8". I think that's kind of in the mid-range of where you want the hand measurement to be.
Mm-hmm.
His arm measured at 32.5. Seems a little short for it. His arms seem a little short.
Well, give me a comparison. Well, what was Caleb's arm? Do you remember?
I mean, I don't know what Caleb's arms are, but like if I get a dress shirt, I get an arm with, I get the 32, 33 arm length.
So like, he's got cakes on.
How are my arms, unless I'm doing the measurement wrong, or unless I have ill-fitting shirts, how are my arms the same length as Jaden Daniels? That seems weird. Hmm. He has a wingspan of 76 3/4 inches. He did not run the 40, didn't do the vertical, didn't bench press. So, yeah, as Commanders,
you know,
fans,
he can run.
Does him weighing in at 210 pounds, does that help ease some of your fears as far as him being a toothpick, him being too small to play on the pro level? 800-636-1067. All right, what did you take away from the measurements that you saw from him yesterday? What did
you say the arm length was?
32.5.
All right, so Caleb is 30, almost 34.
Okay.
So an inch and a half longer.
Did he say why he didn't do bench press?
Maybe,
to be honest with you, that's I would feel like that's just as important as weight, because if everyone's saying that you're frail and you can't absorb a hit, then you weight and this, I guess, overall upper body strength
right.
would be.
All right, I don't know the answer to this, but how many of the quarterbacks actually do the bench press?
I don't know. I'm going to guess most of them don't.
Probably very few.
Yeah, I didn't think they did.
I think that's more of like an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, you know, macho type.
I mean, the quarterbacks aren't expected to put up a ton of reps on the bench, but
yeah, I know they're not supposed to put up a ton of reps, but like, can you at least get 225 up?
I mean, his strength is obviously his speed. I mean, he's just, and if he ran the 40, I'm sure it would have been impressive,
right?
But I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing Drake May is. His arms are going to be longer than that. Because I'm guessing Drake May is going to be at minimum 6'4".
And look, like, does he need super long arms to wing the ball downfield? No. I mean, we've seen him hit his receivers in stride way down the field at LSU. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of what he's – his deep ball is pretty damn good. So I don't know if that's just me overanalyzing his arms being short. Does it really impact him? Probably not. I just – that kind of jumped out at me from his list of measurements.
How much did you watch?
I just watched on Twitter.
Just the highlights?
Yeah, I just watched highlights on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm wondering why this one guy did say that it was some of the worst pro day footage he's ever seen. I just watched the highlights, and, you know, the highlights, they're just showing completions to to his receiver.
No, he missed some throws.
Did he really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And then
so it wasn't great.
Look, it wasn't great, but it wasn't awful.
Wasn't awful, okay.
But J.J. McCarthy had a much better pro day than Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Just because he had more completions, the ball placement was better.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just looking at pro days itself, you're not looking at game film or anything like that. If you just had to pick one or the other, who was better just off of a pro day?
I'll tell you what,
it was J.J. McCarthy.
I'm begging Drake May has a really good pro day.
Yeah, I know you're
because I've been a Drake May guy for months.
You've been a May guy.
If he goes out there and looks like butt, then I'm going to be down on him.
You need him. For your arguments and
now
your
it's a
stance.
Pro day. I don't put a lot of stock in pro days.
I don't either.
But the media will jump all over.
You know what I don't put a lot of stock into? The guy who said it was the worst pro day he's ever seen, who has 1,000 followers.
Oh, okay.
Right. He's not a professional. He's a like Drab or Michael Marr giving their opinions.
He's just a guy with a cell phone on
So he doesn't even know what he's looking at.
He's just watching it on TV. He's not there.
Oh, he wasn't there. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't get a credential.
And then you're talking about
Joe_NFL. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Real authority on the quarterbacks.
All right, but Valdez did say missing throws.
Yeah, but a couple of out throws were missed. A couple of deep balls were missed. But like, it wasn't egregious. It's not like he threw the ball in the dirt.
Yeah. All right.
Like, it's not. It wouldn't concern me, but if you're just asking me who had a better pro day, J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy did.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the entirety of both of them. It's like a 30-minute video, not just the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, you got to watch Drake May today, too.
I got a four.
What time's May going? Noonish?
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
All right.
I think you're going to hear a story today. Everybody says Penix is slow. There's going to be a story today about how impressed people are by his 40 time. It's my prediction. 4.5.
He's going to run a 4.5 40?
You'll see. You'll see.
With legs like Forrest Gump when he was a kid?
You'll see.
The braces will be popping off.
He's got bionic knees, doesn't he?
Everybody here owes me $1 tomorrow if that becomes a storyline. People are impressed by his 40 time.
By the way, Jason, it looks like Drake May's pro day Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. By the way,
on the ACC network.
By the way, JP did get a survivor pick in.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Someone must have tweeted him.
Hey, look, he wants to win. What's at stake? $150?
Yeah, 160. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're netting 150.
He's got a sweat. He's got a sweat to take it
down. All right, so 800-636-1067. After the pro day, are you still pro Jaden Daniels, or are you kind of iffy on it? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, you are going to be riveted to the Drake May Pro Day today. Every single throw.
I'm not going to watch. No, because I'll be watching.
You're going to watch Corbin Burns.
I'm going to be watching baseball.
Oh, that's true. It's a good point.
All right. So people have to text
You'll
me.
You'll be
how
toggling
Drake
back and forth.
I'm sorry. What time you say it was? 3? 3 o'clock.
Right. 3 p.m. 4-hour live broadcast of Drake May in North Carolina's Pro Day. Thursday, 3 p.m. ACC Network.
Incredible.
So I know what you're doing today. You're watching baseball and you're watching Drake May.
There you go.
All right. Don't forget, coming up later on the show, just in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by the mayor of Washington, D.C. Mayor Bowser will join the Junks coming up at 8 a.m. Here's your guest lineup for the remainder of the show. Mayor Bowser, the mayor of D.C., will join us in just about 15 minutes. That's coming up at 8 a.m. Dylan Strome from the Washington Capitals. He'll be on the show at 8:45 as they prepare to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight in Toronto.
What'd you say the percentage was on what's the site you go to?
It's moneypuck.com.
Moneypuck.
That's my new go-to every single day.
Yeah.
And the Caps' current percentage chance of qualifying for the playoffs is 67.1%.
That's a good number.
It's a good number. Hold on. I'll tell you.
And just think, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, it was
6%. 6%. We left them for dead. Dead on the side of the road.
Well, I mean, they were selling off pieces. You know, they were losing a bunch of games. They weren't playing well. And then Carbs just they got it turned around. It's awesome to see.
If the Capitals beat the Maple Leafs tonight in regulation, their chances increase to 78.6% to make the playoffs. A more than 10% bump.
Hey, man, that's a big number.
That is a big number.
But can they get four in a row?
That would be fantastic if they do. I'm guessing Chucky's going to be going in net for them tonight.
I mean, he's got to.
I mean, the only way I see Kemper playing down the stretch is if the Caps have a back-to-back. And they just don't want to, you know, risk injury, you know, trot Chucky out there in back-to-back nights. I don't know how many of those they have, if any, during the remainder of the season.
Back-to-backers?
Yeah.
Well, they play tonight, obviously. They play Saturday. Then they play Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So April 4 or 5 is their next back-to-back.
That's the most likely spot you're going to see Kemper.
You'll see Darcy probably against Carolina Friday, April 5th.
I would assume.
By the way, the Caps have only won four straight one time this year, and that was back in November when they won five straight. So it's been a while.
They haven't had a lot of
No. They've won three straight a few times, but this would be a big one, especially considering they're playing in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a big four gamer. So it's such a massive game.
Another quick side note for the Capitals. Ethan Bear has entered the NHL, NHLPA Player Assistance Program.
Ooh.
That news came out yesterday. And so he's going to be away from the team indefinitely while he receives care. So that announcement was made yesterday. I hope the best for him.
How old is Ethan Bear?
He's pretty young. I want to say he's 26 years old.
Gotcha.
So he was a relatively new addition to the Caps. He signed a two-year deal with them in December. So he'll be away from the team for a bit.
And are you feeling good about tonight?
I don't feel great.
Okay,
I mean, I just like for a team that has a negative, I think the Caps goal differential right now is negative 27.
Correct.
And somehow they're in playoff position with that. I don't quite understand that. Against a team that can score at will, like the Maple Leafs, kind of concerns me.
Toronto's at a plus 35.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
what are the betting numbers on the Caps and the Leafs tonight?
I think Toronto's
a significant favorite.
I don't have it in front of me. I can pull it up, but I'm gonna guess they're a 2-1 favorite.
Yeah.
To win.
That would make sense.
To beat the Caps.
Even though they've dropped their last two, they're scuffling a little bit. But
that makes sense because, like you said, the last time they played him, Toronto scored 7 on him. Now, Toronto has lost 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they've lost 2 straight. But, man, the way the Caps are playing, especially defensively, and the way Chucky's playing, might not be a horrible bet to take him plus the number.
Washington's at plus 150 on the money line. If you bet on the Leafs, it's a minus 175 number.
Okay, all right, so just under 2-1.
Yep.
But we'll talk to Stromer here in about an hour, and I'll tell him it's the biggest game of his career.
Yes, you will. And he'll take it in stride.
Yeah.
Won't be a problem.
Hey, speaking of money, did you guys see the amount of money Caitlin Clark was offered by the Big Three yesterday?
I did see
Not
that.
Only the Big Three, but Dave Portnoy?
I didn't see the Dave Portnoy offer, but I was kind of blown away that if Ice Cube is serious, that they're offering her $5 million to play for one of the teams. Like, if you're her, how do you turn down that money? Like, she's not going to make near that amount of money in the WNBA.
Portnoy offered her $10 million to play in their Barstool intramural league.
Oh, jeez.
So, on their intramural team.
So it's just a full-blown bidding war for Caitlin Clark.
And I don't know what the WNBA does with, like, rookie contracts or if it's just, like, an open market or free market. But why would she not do that? Especially because I know the Big Three told her, yeah, you can play in our league and we'll allow you to play in the WNBA as well.
Oh, so she can just double dip.
Yeah, she can double dip.
Well, I would just...
Well, unless she gets hurt and then the WNBA is, without their new biggest star. That everybody wants to watch.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I don't know what those contracts are like.
If I were her, I would take the $10 million from Dave Portnoy and just post up Barstool Nate all day long and pocket my $10 million. Right?
Well, how much are WNBA contracts? Especially for rookies.
They're not $10 million.
Yeah, but Caitlin Clark is going to make that. She is already making millions of dollars now.
Yeah, she's already a multimillionaire.
She will make millions of dollars next year in marketing. She'll be fine. She'll be
looks like the first year salaries in the WNBA are somewhere in the 75 grand range for the first year. And they, I think they signed 3 or 4 year, they signed 3 year deals with a 4th year option.
If I were her, I'd be passing the ball. Is it Barstool Banks, our guy out of Baltimore?
Yeah.
That's what I'd be doing. And I'd be counting my 10 million. And then I would play for a year there. And then I would just resume my career.
So you're saying that she could play in the Big Three and in the WNBA?
Yeah. Ice Cube said, well, Ice Cube, number one, apologized. Because he said he was negotiating with her or her agent.
In private. How did it get out?
Someone on the Big Three or Caitlin Clark's camp leaked it.
Okay.
So he apologized and said he didn't want it to distract from her run for the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's a brilliant move by Ice Cube because, I mean, look.
Very business savvy.
Like, is the Big Three getting any sort of traction at this point?
No, but I guarantee you I would watch the first couple games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
So it's a smart move by him to keep their name out there, to try to keep them relevant.
So Caitlin Clark has NIL deals with Nike, Gatorade,
yeah,
Bose, State Farm. You see the State Farm commercial all the time.
This is quite a stable of advertisers.
Cakes is jealous.
I'm very jealous.
So State Farm, Buick, H&R Block, Tops. And Goldman Sachs.
Those are called heavy hitters.
Does it give an amount?
Doesn't give an amount, but you know, let your brain run wild on that one.
But I was saying the Ice Cube came out and he said this, and he apologized, and then he confirmed. He goes, "Yes, we gave the offer, and you know, just to be clear, it's in addition to WNBA.
Gatorade, mm-hmm. Is it in you?
So yeah, I mean the WNBA contracts in the first year are not even 100 grand,
right?
Now, maybe bonuses get you there, but it's not even close to what Cube is offering.
I do find it funny. Well, Portnoy's offering her $10 million.
Yeah, that's nuts.
To come play at some rec league, like some YMCA gym.
Well, I mean, she could do that and just take threes, not even playing defense.
Sure.
All right, just take threes.
Right.
And stay down on that side of the court. Don't even play defense.
Their stream numbers would be insane.
And the Big Three offer is only for 8 games and then potentially
Games. Yeah, potentially 10. So this is $5 million for a maximum of 10 games.
Right.
Well, she's pondering it.
Man, her future's so bright.
Which is why she's able to play in the WNBA, or why he's allowing her to do that.
Right.
But like Drab said, if you're the WNBA, why would you risk your golden goose going, spraining an ankle in the Big Three?
So you go play with some 40-year-old NBA washout.
Now the superstars of the
WNBA. Roll your ankle with Katino Mobley.
Yeah. The superstars of the WNBA, the Diana Taurasis and the Erica Wheelers, not, obviously they're past their rookie contracts, but they're making in the $250,000.
Okay. Range.
So once Clark got into that 4th or 5th year,
right,
she'll be making probably type of money.
Anything she's going to make from the WNBA is going to be—it's just a pittance compared to her endorsement portfolio.
Correct, Amundo.
I mean, she's just raking it in.
Nuts.
And again, I am a little bit jelly because she's representing corporate titans, like the biggest of the big.
Yeah, she's got
Nike,
she's
Gatorade,
got dumb money already.
Goldman Sachs, amongst others. So good for her. Even though I think she's a little bit whiny for my taste from watching her a couple nights ago against West Virginia in the women's NCAA tournament.
I would definitely be intrigued. And you know, I would be intrigued by the young hotshot superstar female athlete against washed up old dudes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be intrigued by that.
Well, I could tell you she'd be running circles around those dudes. Those guys look like they're playing in cement, I would guess, for the most part. Trying to keep up with her.
I don't watch the Big Three, so I don't have any idea who's in that. But it'll be interesting if she decides to go that way.
Yeah, Katino Mobley.
You think she's not going to blow Mobley. By?
You wouldn't.
Mobley's got gray hair.
Al Harrington.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason, would you seriously watch Big Three on a Saturday on CBS if she was playing?
Oh yeah, I definitely would watch it. 100%.
Yep, that would get those casual eyeballs watching, no doubt. All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Mayor Bowser, the mayor of Washington D.C. We'll talk about the deal to keep the Wizards and Caps in place at Capital One Arena with Mayor Bowser next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.